This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikhail Morrison in Seattle.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
All right, back together again for another Freaky Friday of recording time. So how's your week been, guys?
Man, yeah, good.
Good, busy.
You sounding busy too there.
80 degrees here.
What?
Yeah,
that's
really
crazy.
Beautiful.
Good for
and
you.
Then, but you know
that,
what happens
that
here,
work,
Wes?
That helps the workflow, right? That
well,
helps
oh,
the
my
workflow.
Gosh, it's so difficult.
I love that.
But you know how it goes, Wes. We have these teaser days. Everybody gets out their sundresses and sandals and shorts with their pasty white blinding legs. And then we get rain and we don't see sun until July 5th, the day after.
Oh, I remember it well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now those are, you know, but that's when it's good there. I do. There is something to be said about just kind of having that really mild summer temperature. Mm-hmm. Except I lived in like a weird kind of mid-rise building and I just remember it got hot as shit up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Got so hot because no one has air conditioning in there, right?
Well, yes, there's some that do, but no, it's not common. No, it's not.
Yeah.
I could just see Wes surrounded by a bunch of fans.
Well, fans follow me wherever I go. But
that's true.
I'm not Mikhail on vacation. Come
yeah,
on.
Well, you're not. Yeah. head on over to Australia and let's go see.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Mikhail fan club. But no, it's getting nice here. I'm going to my first Cubs game of the year tomorrow on the rooftops.
Awesome, man.
So that'll be fun.
Fun.
That's the best stadium in town, man.
I love that.
Yeah,
stadium.
Well, this is like, you know, they've got the rooftops across the street where it's like you pay, it's a little bit more, but it's free alcohol, free drink, or free food, all you can eat and all you can
drink.
How
much do you pay?
It was like $150.
You know,
that's terrible because
I'll get that back in
prices
wine.
Are through the roof. Yeah.
Dude, three rounds of drinks or two rounds of drinks in a normal place and you've already matched that.
Right. You know? Well, and the stadium pricing is that venue pricing is even more. So
that's true.
Not only that, but you got to go down, you got to haul your ass down. You got to like stand in the lines and who's got time for anything?
Yeah.
Next time I come to Chicago,
I got to do that. I keep seeing that. And when you watch the game and it's like the only stadium in town that has those rooftops in the back, it's like, cause it's, you're so close. That's like LA has nothing like that. Our stadiums are like, in canyons.
You know? Oh, I know. I remember Dodger Stadium. But you know, I live right by Wrigley Field. Like you can see it from my roof.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm right. I can hear the crack of the bats.
Dude, you got the life.
You can hear the crack of the bats. Are you kidding me?
Sometimes. Like it's not every time. Like I'm far enough away, but like if it's not windy and it's just right and it's quiet enough, otherwise you can.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. You're ready to go. Summertime is
no
here, baby.
No hot sports talk. Yeah. You've already lost half
the
audience. Yeah,
for somebody not into sports, that's pretty impressive.
Well, it's still, I just like going.
Drinking?
Right? Yeah.
Drinking is a lot of the appeal, I'm not going to lie.
I know, come on.
It's the weekend, baby. Very what do you
cool.
want?
Very cool.
Yeah. But anything, nothing exciting going on business-wise or client-wise, anything like that?
Just a lot of new. I got a lot of new things happening, and it's been I got to say, thank God for the proposal treatment of saving case, you know, like your proposals from the past. I had to dig up a few old ones and it's been cool. Like it's, I like being in a zone of a lot of proposals because it makes you a little sharper with how you're doing it. And you question the price a lot too. So I've been like, don't say anything, but I've been racking up the prices a little bit too.
Yeah.
It's always a good thing, you know, and it's, and you got to test the waters. So it's like, everything's been good. And the first one, like we inked and we're meeting later today. So yeah, I'm like, I'm kind of excited for some new stuff. It'd be good.
Nice. Yeah. Good to keep it fresh, right?
Fresh.
That's cool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of fresh, Skillshare.
Yeah. Baby. Speaking of fresh.
You thought I was going somewhere else with that one.
Speaking of skills, FreshBooks.
Yeah. We'll get to FreshBooks, but for now, let's heap a little praise on our friends over at Skillshare. We love Skillshare. You know, if you're listening to the show right now, that tells me a couple things about you. It tells me you've got great taste, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Tells me you want to keep learning. That's really the main thing I'm going for there. You like to keep learning. You want to keep your skills fresh. And Skillshare can really fit in. You know, we can only do so much on an audio podcast, but Skillshare is audio, video, you name it. Sometimes it's lecture style, whiteboard style, screen capture, where you can really get in and see experts doing what they do best.
Yeah.
And that is why I love them. I'm really trying to like take all the courses I can on Elementor Pro. Really trying to up my game there for sure.
Yeah.
And they've just got so many cool things here. They've got like 2019 design trends in a very visual way. Learn Adobe Photoshop, creating strong coordinating patterns. They've got everything, like little things, big things, all the things. So,
new tagline, all the things.
Yeah, you name it, they've got it. So if you're picking up a new skill for your day job or figuring out your next side project or pursuing a longtime passion, Skillshare's got the classes that are going to help you the best. So join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. So you can get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right. Skillshare is offering our listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. So to sign up, go to Skillshare.com/deepend. Again, go to Skillshare.com/deepend to start your 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/deepend.
Good.
All right. So on with the show, on with the good stuff. What I thought would be fun is to talk about, you know, those tools that we use as designers every day, whether it's helping us in our productivity or our business or in design or for inspiration. There's all kinds of tools we use. So I thought, why not have the three of us kind of go over the ones we can't live without?
Yeah.
So I've had you guys both whittle it down to your top choice in each category. So, and we'll just kind of go through all of them. So we'll have 9 tools to share in all. So who wants to go first with the productivity or business tool?
Ooh.
Me.
Mikhail?
Ooh.
Yeah, I can start.
I'm curious. I think I know what you got. I think I know what we're doing, but this could be a mystery.
Yeah, I sent you guys my three, but ahead of time. So I've talked this up a bit before, and it's Trello. I use it religiously, and it's just beautifully robust. Of course, desktop and mobile versions. I have the app installed, of course, and I use it on the go quite successfully. It's just super user friendly, and there's a lot. It's a project management platform, and there are so many out there, of course, competing with one another that are very, very similar. The reason I love Trello is because it's project management in its simplest form. There are some out there that are very just seem convoluted. The layout is dense. There's a lot of drop down menus, this and that. So it's nice. You guys know that I can be a nerd about color coding, and I just really love this, about Trello is that, you know, you can custom label to prioritize projects, clientele, sub projects, have them labeled based on the phase of discovery, design schematics, in review, you know, and then you can set timers so that people are obtaining, you know, reminders for deadlines. I use this a lot for support team members that I collaborate with. It's just worked really beautifully. In fact, I had one of the designers that supports us mentioned that she used Trello to plan her son's birthday party with all of her family members.
That's a great idea.
That's nerdy, but I love it.
I know. I'm so glad she admitted that to me. Now I feel like I can tell her anything.
That's a very Seattle thing to do. For sure.
maybe. Yes. But yeah, it just gets really nice so that you can categorize like crazy with a platform that's not email. And that's the bonus here for me, is not having to trace. You can go specifically to the project, specifically to the client, and track down anything. If you just can't remember some of the scope parameters or, you know, timeline specifics, anything of that kind. So it's just super useful. And I think at this point I use the app on my mobile device more than I use the platform on desk. Yeah.
I remember you mentioning that. I think that makes a lot of sense, right? You're with it so much more.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's nice when you're not in files as much that you can just kind of be behind the curtain and sort of direct the show, or just be there as people need you to refer to things and label things accordingly. And, you know, when I say review things, you know, pull up a PDF, have a quick look. Send feedback through Trello, set another timing deadline for people. It works out beautifully for me personally.
Good.
Nice. Yeah. And I remember I've used it once, specifically when I was working with another company that I was kind of providing guest articles for, and that was their, back-end system for doing that. And I thought it was cool that they had like a card system, right? Like you could move.
It's all card-based. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's basically it's still you that move. Way. Yeah. So you move like a task to another.
Exactly.
Like a, that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Part of it. I should have mentioned that. I really like that part of the platform too, outside of the colors, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I've used Basecamp mostly, but I think that people are really religious about which project management software they use. You know, I love Basecamp. People love Trello. I've heard people love Asana. And they're like, whichever one they use, you can't even talk them out of it. Like, they just love the one they use. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. This has come up just recently with a long-standing client about implementing a project management system for the first time. And of course, they heard about MyVote. But they had mentioned Asana. And I actually had mentioned...
But can you come back closer to the mic, Mikkel? Oh. We're losing you there.
Is that better? Oh.
There you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, you guys.
Like, where did she go? Wandering there.
So, where was... Oh, yeah. Somebody had kind of put in their vote for Asana. And I've heard good things about that, too. Airtable is great as well, but I just feel like it... I don't know. It just felt a lot more dense. It was just a little bit more of a challenge to track items.
Okay. Anyway. Not even heard of that one. But
have you not? Okay. Yeah, there's too many in all honesty. There's too many out there.
There's a new one there's like a new one popping up every day and like my Twitter feed. It's crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like what I feel like is missing from Basecamp and I can't even think, but I think there is something that I wish they had and I just can't put my finger on it right now. But I think the main thing to convey here is, you know, if you're listening to this now and you're still doing things over email with clients, it's time, like your life will change when you get onto a good project management system and you just kind of keep everything in one place.
Yeah.
So much easier.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Nice. Very good. Trello.
Nicholas. All right. So, I got a tweet or something from someone a while back, like 2 months ago, and clicked on this link and I saw this new plugin, or it's actually a new extension. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called the Logo Package, and it is revolutionary. It was so cool. Wow. I think one of the hardest things that I hate when you finalize a job specifically for a logo or a brand identity that you've done for a client, and you're like, yes, you got the sign off and you're good to go. And you've promised that turnover package of all the digital and all the print files, right? And you know I think Adobe's done a great job. I remember when, I think it was 2 years ago when we were all at Max and we saw that export for screens, and you can like say, I want a small, medium, and a large PSD and a JPEG and a PNG, and you export all of those great files, and now you got to organize them and everything. I look at this extension. It's called Logo Express, Logo Package, and it's mm-hmm. basically Illustrator extension that automatically generates, and then it exports all of the logos that you have created in like 5 minutes, and it formats them, it puts them in folders, it names them based on the differences. Cool. And the beauty of it is you basically get these two artboards, and the artboards are set up to say like, okay, here's your full color logo, here's just your icon, here's your word mark, here's the word mark plus tagline, here's the tagline, and you separate them all, you know, because like that's how we hand over these things now. Clients want to have everything dissected, they want it together. So even the simplest projects sometimes have 9 to 15 different logo types at the end of our process. So you run it through, and it's basically an extension. So you set it all up, you hit the play button in the extension thing, and what it does is it goes through, it crops the artboards to exactly the size that your art is. So you get them really nice and tight. So if they're placed images or linked, they're really, really tight. And then what it does is it gives you CMYK, RGB, right? Then it breaks it down mm-hmm. into full color, black and white, white, black, cool. RGB, CMYK, PNG. Think of the calculations. You're talking like sometimes you, yeah. The last one I did, I think I had like 200 files that basically in literally under 5 minutes, after you hit that play button in about 2 minutes, you have a folder that is a perfectly organized handover package to your client that you can zip, and you can put it on like your Dropbox or however you share with your clients. They get it, and it's completely organized. One of the best tools I've ever seen when it comes to like giving you a leg up and giving your productivity and your efficiencies like through the roof. It's unreal. So it's Logo wow. Package. You can churn out all these things. When I went, I got it when it was like pre-release, I believe, and it was $49. And now that it's at a full release, it's still quite inexpensive. It's $79. You'll use it. I mean, add it to your next, your next invoice. You know what I mean? And it'll pay for itself, really, when you think about
it. Yeah.
So
and does this come with its own set of logic inside of it to where it kind of knows what to name things and what the different variations are?
Yeah. So your artboards are already titled every possible configuration. And then you can obviously go into them, change your artboards to any customized thing you want. And when you, before you hit click, it will ask you what formats do you need? Because if you don't need some stuff, it just won't. You just unclick those. Let's say you only are doing RGB and you only need digital files. This company does not do any print. You can do a whole digital package. If they do print, then it does it like in CMYK, it does it in PMS, and it makes the equivalent of it too, which is really amazing. So I think I calculated, I was taking at least 3 to 4 hours sometimes on the simplest logo package to put together the folder that's going to be your handover. This thing will literally do it in 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've had listener questions before where they kind of ask us how uh-huh. we handle this kind of thing. So there you go, guys.
Yeah. And this isn't a plug. And hey, we might even have to like see if we can work out some deal with them or something. Cause yeah, like, right? God knows we have the audience for them, but I got to tell you, it's one of the coolest little features. And it's one of those things where you say, why the hell didn't I think of that? Like it's literally just actions that are built and recorded. So when you open it up, it's an extension like this has hundreds of calculations, but that's what they've done. And it basically does all that for you. And you're left with this perfect little folder that's ready to hand over. And it makes you look so good. I mean, there's not a mistake in there. You didn't label something CMYJ instead of CMYK because you were doing it manually. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what a time saver. What a huge thing to kind of like just look better when it comes to clients. And even if they don't need some of that stuff in there, chances are, how many times have you been called by a client that's like, hey, looking for a CMYK at 25 DPI? And you're like, yeah. You already have it. You have it.
What is the cost of this?
$79
$79 Okay.
Yeah, and it's downloadable. You get two video tutorials, which are fantastic. They definitely help, because I was first looking at this going, I don't even know what a freaking, you know, action or extension thing is. I don't use them that much. But what a shortcut. And now it lives on your, it lives in Illustrator. So you basically, you never leave the Illustrator app. It's not an app. It's literally an extension that does all the generating and exporting. And you have this great file that's right on your desktop.
Wow.
What a world.
Okay. What a world, huh?
Yeah.
That's really neat. Pretty crazy. That's really neat.
Even just look at this. So it's thelogopackage.com. Look at the tutorial. Look at the video they have.
And if
if it's in your wheelhouse, I mean, you know, I don't know about licensing and stuff like that, but like go in with it with some friends. Just say you're a student.
Yeah.
It's a great tool.
Well, and so is that indefinitely, or is that like a yearly?
Oh no, one time.
One time fee. Yeah, that's pennies.
I hate subscription things. Trust me, I'm right there with you. It was so nice. I thought for sure it was going to be one of those like, hey, it's only, you know, $11 a month. I'm like, oh god. I don't even know one of those.
I know. So, that's always kind of a turnoff. I know.
Yeah.
I feel like my mortgage is less than all my subscriptions at this point.
I mean, isn't it crazy? Yeah. Have you seen how even like bank apps now are highlighting, you can look specifically at things that you are taking out monthly that are automatic. So, because some people were finding they had double up things like on subscriptions. It's getting crazy.
It's insane, the number of things. And I feel like I don't even need most of them anymore. I need to really go through and make some tough choices here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Some tough love, baby. But I know what you mean, man. It adds up. All those little $12, $19 things, you know, they definitely do.
So they know exactly what price to make it to where it's not going to hurt enough to ever let it go.
Exactly. You know? Or bundling it in a year. So you get a little savings, you know. Which sometimes I like that, but like, oh man, you know, just, I didn't want another one. And the fact that this was just a one-time thing and you own it and it's part of, it's in Illustrator. So you're not fantastic. In foreign land, you know? And it's really something else. And I love the fact that it takes away the it's foolproof. It's just, I'm not going to have any kind of errors in there. And I know it's going to be, it's like a confidence thing. So definitely check it out if you do a lot of logos.
Okay, cool. All right, so my first pick for a tool, it's one of those it's one of those business productivity tools. I talked about it before on the show, I'm pretty sure, but it's Calendly.
I think I remember. Yeah,
I kind of can't live without it. I love it. Here's why. Because I use it a lot for getting my clients, and I also use it a lot on my clients' sites. So what it does is basically the old way, if a client were to come to my website and want to get in touch with me, want to schedule a consultation, it would just be like a form, you know, fill out this form, let me know some details, and I will email you back or I will call you back, that kind of thing. But the problem with that is I would call them back and they'd be in line at the grocery store or they'd be picking their kids up or something. So it's hard to get that coordination just right. So what Calendly does is basically it allows me to already tell the program when I'm free. It coordinates with my Google Calendar. And then it would never allow anyone to schedule anything if I already have something on my calendar for that time.
Yeah.
But it goes even a step further because I can say to Calendly, also, I only want to take meetings on Mondays from noon to 2 and on Wednesdays from, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So you can basically really break it down into when you're willing to take meetings and consultations. And it syncs with your calendar. And then someone goes to my schedule a consultation page. And instead of filling out a form, they pick a day and a time that works for them, which also it eliminates that whole back and forth of, hey, Wes, I'd love to talk. When are you free? Well, I'm free at 1 on Wednesday. Are you free then? No.
Yeah.
I'm not free then.
Yeah. They can eliminate back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like us a podcast time.
Exactly. We need to just do it on Calendly for now.
Sorry. Behind the scenes there, folks.
Exactly. A little inside baseball. But so what they can only pick a time that I've basically pre-said I'm available for it. Mm-hmm. So they pick a time that works. And then you can have them fill out a few important fields, and they can be whatever you want. You know, I just usually ask for their name, business name, their website address, and their phone number. You know, so, and what's really cool is you can ask qualification questions. You know, like what I ended up doing was just having a really text box that said, I understand that websites start at this price. And basically just to say like, and they would have to check that box, because what I would get was all these people filling it out. And then I'd tell them, you know, what my starting price is. And like, oh, I've got $200.
Oh man.
It's like, all right, well, I'm not going to, and then they don't get off the phone. They want to keep kind of justifying why they only want to spend that much. And it's like, all right, I get it, but I got things to do, you know? So it basically, it's really customizable. You can ask any questions you want in order to contact them or to qualify people in or out. So it's really versatile and it is free. There are paid plans. I'm on the paid plan. And I think the reason is because I wanted to take their branding off of it. There's some other reason too, and I don't remember what, but then there's also the other thing I do. There's
maybe a limit, tiers. A limit to meetups or meetings.
Not a limit to, I don't remember what it was, to be honest with you,
it sounds like it's just worth it to you. You know, it's worth it, you know,
it is.
Yeah.
I mean, a client is worth so much. And I think the paid plan is like $10 a month. Yeah. So again, it's like one of those expenses that's easy to justify, but I'm on a plan that's a little more because it allows you to take credit card payments. So I do have consultations.
Yes.
Like where people just pay me. They basically for my YouTube channel, you know, they'll find me and they'll pay a certain amount of money for that hour long call with me. And they just pay for it. And it's scheduled with Calendly and it just goes right on my calendar.
Good.
Super nice. Seamless. Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
hey, any other little thing like that you can do, it makes it so much easier to also too. Like we were just talking about this the other day, cause I was doing something similarly. And I think I only put a few time slots per day that I am available. Right. Mm-hmm. But maybe on the flip side, it makes you look so booked up, because they'll look at it and say like, oh, Wes has only got, you know, one availability day, you know, mm-hmm. like I better snag it.
Yeah. I mean, then there is something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a scarcity thing. Yeah. If they True. See your whole day is wide open, suddenly they're asking questions exactly. like, why is he not yeah. busier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, little cool. do they know. It's like, I'm still working. I just am not having like phone calls all day long.
Yeah. And this is something so when you do the service, it now is embedded into your website via like an extension or something. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Or does it go to that site?
You can, like uh-huh. you could just send people to that page from a link on your site. But what I do, they just give you HTML code and you just put it on your site. It's embedded on my site.
Great. Perfect. Yeah.
Hmm. So I love it. Mikhail, what's your design pick?
So my design pick is a system called Envision. I think probably most designers have heard of this one, that yeah. are digital responsive designers, web designers of sorts. So this is handy, and I use it exclusively for prototyping, and it's a great tool for that. But it just keeps expanding. Like I just keep getting notifications and promotions by email saying, oh, Envision now features this plugin and that plugin. And they collaborate closely with Sketch. So they are constantly promoting both products pretty heavily. But I use Envision in its simplistic form. I upload static PNGs by and large at 2x the size so that they come in really clear for retina displays. I don't have many point of contacts that I support now that are not viewing from crazy screens, which has been very interesting. So it's come in really handy for that. And mm-hmm. I just shift and move screens and different projects, responsive projects around pretty heavily from my phone and send both support staff and clientele links all the time to refer to something. So it's been great to send those links, and you don't need the app installed on the other end for recipients in order for them to take great advantage of this product. It displays really beautifully through the web browser on any device. So It's not a must to download, but for me, just owning all these prototypes, it's just really handy for that. Envision, capital I-N, capital V-I-S-I-O-N.
Yeah. I think it's envisionapp.com, right? Is that where people go for that? Yeah. Nice. I've used that for mood boarding with clients before.
Yeah, they have a great system for mood boards.
Yeah.
And it's nice that you can have your clients interact with those mood boards too, and they can throw in things of inspiration. It makes it interactive for everyone in the party. Yeah.
Is it still quite a comparison between Sketch and, I'm sorry, Envision and XD? Or are those
Sketch is more along the lines of XD. Envision, I think, is just kind of maybe owned by the same people as Sketch. Oh, is that
that's
what you're
that's the combination.
I don't think so, but they're affiliated heavily.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, Sketch is like XD, Nick. It's like a website.
Yeah, yes, and then Envision's totally. Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, cool. I always get the two confused.
Okay. All right. Anything else to add to that, Mikkel?
No, and I am keeping it simple because I'm not gonna.
I don't want to exaggerate
and beef up how I utilize the app. I know that it can be used much more beyond the capacity that I utilize it for specifically. But I don't want to speak out of line about that. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think I've only used it for the mood boarding. So I'm still not quite sure everything else it does. So I'm sure it does quite a bit. Like I'm picturing it to be like a Canva type thing, but I don't know. Not really sure.
I haven't used Canva, so I can't speak to that either. But
yeah, I think Canva is more user grade, just kind of like for like non-designers to come up with their own logos and stuff.
Yeah. We support a lot of real estate agents that use that Canva religiously because it's user friendly for just about anybody. But the other thing that's really nice about Envision too is that, you guys.
Yeah.
I have to pause and go get Valerie, okay?
All right.
Okay, go for it.
She just woke up, but continue on, okay?
Yeah,
and then I'll pop back in.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. So, Nick, why don't you give us what you got?
Cool. So, staying in the app zone here, the last few months, I'd say, I've gotten really deep into Adobe Dimension beyond my typical kind of like introductory of last year and kind of messing around with it for a long time. But this past few months, I've really been like actually using it for the real deal and getting in there when I think the best thing I can say about what Adobe Dimension has been doing for me lately is I'm not buying and I'm not having to search for a lot of the mockups that are out there. And I think these mockups look great and I'm still using them and I still have a great library of them from the past that I've bought. But I feel like it tends to look like everybody else is out there when you're using the same mockups that, you know, the rest of the world of graphic designers are using because it's one view. It's not, it's quite editable, obviously, with backgrounds and stuff like that. But as far as perspective and lighting and all that other stuff, it's not that adaptable. So what I've been doing is I've been trying to switch over and do all my mockup and even just typical random applications and visual kind of versions of this, of the branding and packaging all together and making these 3D models. And, you know, anybody I've shown what I've been doing is so one always kind of like blown away. And then I always laugh and go, I know zero 3D. Like I never ever was a part of this thing. And I've always marveled when I see people playing with a lot of the higher end 3D, software out there. That's not my cup of tea. I don't have time to learn it. What I want to do is kind of get right in, take my assets, make something really cool, and sell it into the client even better. So little by little, I've been kind of figuring out more things about it. And the cool, what I can really say that I think would be the best is that it's not just taking your art, putting it on a model and saying done. You are really being like a photo shoot director. You can kind of command the entire thing. What's the lighting? What's the background going to be? What perspective are we talking about? Does it need to be dramatic? Does it need to be straight on? Does it need to be like from, you know, an ant's kind of point of view and like looking straight up at a big tall can, or is it a bird's eye thing? You really can mess around and do everything. The cool factor is what their library is. And this is all the free stuff. This is the stuff you get just by having it. And their library continues to grow and grow. So the other day we were doing something where had a can floating, and we were able to circle it with this like splash of water, like, you know, like a kind of like a ring of water wrapping around the can. And there I'm laughing going, God, if I could only turn it into beer, because that's what it was replicating. And I look over in surfaces and it's like glass, marble, turquoise. And then it said, cola, beer, wine. And I clicked beer. Wow. And it turned the entire 3D model into transparent with the bubbles and the effervescence. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is, this is so much. It's fun. And it's like also too, you can't believe what you're showing. And most of the stuff that we have done, I've shared with the clients. Not only do they love it as the sell-in, but we're actually using it. You can export these in quite large files. Only downside is do things late at night. So when you hit render, you can go to sleep and that picture will be ready for you in the morning, because it does take a little bit of time to render.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Especially with like I laugh too. I can use it on all of my iMacs, but my MacBook Air is a little bit too weak for it and it won't even open on that. So make sure you're using it on a computer that you've got a little power on it. But remember, it's like, it takes no experience at all. You can mess around and do all these things that no other designer is going to have the exact thing that you've replicated, because there are just beyond variables here that you can change. And then they keep adding on to it, which is kind of cool. I can't even keep up with what they've been adding on lately. I think they're getting into the thing where you can actually, the goal will be like you can have something and you can actually stage it to move and it will do like almost a loop. So it will turn a can, or it will, if you have to show something in 360, it will do it and save it as a QuickTime. And then what you can do, or a PDF, and you can send it to your client. What a lot of people don't realize is Adobe Acrobat has 3D capability in it, which is kind of odd. But if you send a 3D PDF, your client can get that. And they can actually, with the hand tool, they can move the model around within Adobe Acrobat and look at a 3D model or packaging from all sides. So, which they don't need to download any other application or weird stuff. So it gives them that opportunity to do it as well. So I think it's great. I love the tutorials. Just get in there, figure it out. No manual necessary, for sure.
Yeah. So, that's awesome. And I bet you get so much easier buy off based on those than just like kind of that, you know, static image. Or flattened image even.
Yeah. And even clients, I think, are getting used to the same old, you know, decal on a window or hanging sign from a little store in Paris, you know?
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like, and so even showing, I've been pushing students to use it too, because I think they're in a world that's even harder. If you're a younger designer, you're out there searching for a job, you want to make sure your portfolio pieces don't look like everybody else's, and you want them to see something fresh. You know, you don't want them to see the same mock-ups over and over again. You're already paying for it. So like, give it a shot and see what else you can do. It's definitely worth it. Definitely worth it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Makes me want to be a packaging designer again. Like, go into that again. Cause back when I did that for that company I worked for, it was all like physical mock-ups.
Yes.
Where my hands would be constantly gummed up with like a, you know, spray adhesive and stuff.
Yep.
Sounds like it's a whole new world now. You can just do all this stuff digitally.
Oh, and also, because I was in that world 2 years ago, and now There's tons of service places now that you can actually send the files to when you actually have to still make a physical sample. Some of these places do it digitally and they can rapid prototype. Let's say you need 9-10 boxes of something for like a trade show. Those have been game changers because I know what you mean. We used to like sit there in the production room and make the actual ones and like, oh, your hands and everything. You're just like, yeah, you got that spray mount all over you. It's like, yeah. But that's good training. Don't forget. I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Say, that's really amazing hands-on experience. I have a little bit of that and I miss it too. Yeah. That's awesome.
I made my students, they had to do before I even show them dimension, they had to do their packaging design from scratch and actually make it. And they were, you know, we had a whole day where everyone's cutting and everything. I'm like, I got a big case of Band-Aids there just in case. But then I showed them dimension. They're like, why did you make us do this? I'm like, you gotta know. You gotta.
They just like slowly look at you like, what?
Yes. The fuck? It's like, dude, come on. But they got better with their X-Acto knife skills. Everybody needs that. Yeah. You know? So that's my
putting models together. So I had my X-Acto knife phase for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time.
Glad to safely leave it behind. All right, cool. So my design choice is, and I've talked about it before, Elementor Pro specifically. We've talked about how I used to use, you know, Sketch.
Yeah.
First of all, use Photoshop to do these mockups, then I would use Sketch. Then I tried to do XD for a while until I found how easy it is just to install this plugin. It's basically just a WordPress plugin that you put on there, and you can upgrade to the pro version. It gives you a lot of extra features that you don't get with the free version, but you can still totally play around with the free version and get a lot of the stuff in there. But the pro version comes with more blocks. So what you can do is really just, you can do it completely from scratch, which is, I kind of like doing that better. It gives you a little bit more freedom, but if you're feeling stuck or if there's an area that you don't feel like you need to get super creative with, because not every part of a website needs to be like blow the socks off. Some of it's present the information in a clean way. So you got these blocks, you can just drag and drop, then customize the font and the background color. You can add a background image or a background video, columns, bullet lists, everything you can basically do in a prototype, you can build in real time using Elementor Pro. Which I love that. Like, it's such a time saver, and it eliminates that needless extra step for me.
That's great.
Doing it and then passing it on to a coder who has to like then translate this, and you know, and then a lot of times there's some back and forth of no, this line height doesn't quite match up. This way I get to do it the way I want to do it. And there's so many cool things. Like, you can make section transitions that are not just a straight line. You know, you can have an angle to it and you can change the angle of that angle. You know, it can be like higher, and like you can do all these cool things to really make it your own. And now they've got the motion effects, which is, it was in beta, but now it's part of the new build of it, where you can do these really cool parallax effects. And you know, be careful. Sometimes it'll add some extra weight to the page.
Yeah.
Minimal. It's not so much the parallax effect itself. It's mostly just having that those images. But you can do some really slick things with it. And so, like, if you're scrolling down the page, an image can either, you know, scroll slower down the page as you go.
Oh,
so it's kind of, you know, you can do that kind of thing. Or you can make it scroll like an image or any element on the page scroll to the left or to the right as you scroll down.
Oh, yeah. I've seen, I think Apple does that a lot on a lot of their product demonstrations on their website.
Yeah.
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 Killer.
So there's a lot of really slick things you can do that, I mean, a few years ago, you would have needed some major knowledge to be able to pull off. And now you do it in seconds. And it's just so.
It's the future.
It's the future, as I like to say. So, you know, it's, I just like having an all-in-one platform where I don't have to, where I can just skip steps. And then what I do now, my new like kind of workflow is I'll design the homepage. and get it the way I want it with the font styles, the line heights I like, all that good stuff, the colors. And then I'll give some notes to my web designer, or not web designer, web developer, and say, take what you've seen, what you see here, and apply what this kind of aesthetic to all the rest of the pages. Now have at it.
Nice.
You know, and he gets to use Elementor too. So he's not, you know, creating custom code. So everything goes a lot faster. Whereas like old projects, we would be, you know, with the coding phase for weeks or months. Now that goes in a matter of days, and we're just waiting on clients, if anything.
What a streamline it sounds like. I mean, like, again, like hearing everything that we've been talking about, it sounds like the common theme is the pure efficiencies and like streamlining it and getting rid of one whole thing that you don't have to worry about. Oh my gosh. Game changer.
Yeah. And to anyone out there who's listening, who's like, yeah, like they think it's a cheat or something. No, it's not, because you're still designing
it. Design, baby.
You're still doing it yourself. I mean, you can drag and drop blocks, which I do sometimes, but you're still never doing that and just leaving them as is.
Yeah,
just kind of taking a layout and then customizing it. But I mean, let's not kid ourselves. You know, we don't have to design every little thing. No. Like, that's not the name of the game. It's not about how much can we design. Yeah. It's about how much can we fulfill the goals and objectives of this particular job.
Do you guys feel
as efficiently as possible?
Do you guys feel like, you know, we've talked about this many times, even after leaving Max a few times, like, are you guys getting more comfortable with this? Like, like you said, it's like these things are just the over efficiencies of things. At first you're kind of like, oh my God, it's push button design, but it's really not. I'm getting more comfortable with this because we're starting to see the results. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's not so much push button design, it's push button layouts, but you still have to apply design sense. And, you know, and there's designers that have made those templates too. It's not like
Good point.
Artificial intelligence is making them, you know, from scratch. Who's to say they won't be able to do that in the future? But I think we're still a long ways off from machines thinking creative.
Yeah. And I'm just glad, it's a slow process, but I'm getting more and more comfortable with these things that are the best little shortcuts. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's still your name and your reputation that's on that design and to that client. So we still have to keep that responsibility of, is it good? You know, but hey, if it can help you and speed up your efficiencies, and you can be on to the next job much quicker and condensing stuff down and making more money and doing more successful, I'm all for it now. You know, I don't have the problem I did maybe 2 years ago when this was all being introduced.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Amen.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Right, Mikkel, Wes, I was with this Elementor, you know, you had all these intentions of playing with XD and getting really familiar with it, and probably aren't feeling that pressure because of Elementor, you know?
Well, I don't feel like it's necessary anymore. Like, honestly, like,
well, pressure came up with a good necessity for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a necessity, sure. Like in certain workflows, like if you're on a team where that's just the workflow, sure. But for doing working with clients and kind of taking on that project, for my workflow, it works great. So I don't really have the need to learn XD anymore. But I mean, it still has its place for certain teams and for certain processes, for sure. Yeah. All right, Mikkel, what do you have in the way of inspiration tools?
So I have, I know to
Dribble.
You know, Instagram accounts, but I kind of rolled my eyes when I jotted that down, just because who doesn't?
What is this Instagram you talk about?
But so I want to talk a little bit about the initial foundation for having sought this one web designer that's really inspired me. So I'm getting really specific. Hopefully that's okay. I think I mentioned every once in a while, I listen to the Dribble podcast, and this gal, I mean, she's truly adorable. Her name's Megan Fisher, and she's exclusively a website designer. Mm-hmm. And I just listened to this awesome special guest show that she was on, and then I went looking at her stuff, and I think I'm a complete going to become a complete stalker follower. Nice. With this gal now. I mean,
you ready, Megan?
And I urge everyone to go find her, not only her website that she just refreshed and launched called owltastic.com, but also to just that look her up and see.
Familiar.
Does it?
Yeah.
She might,
for sure.
She very well may be one of those, you know, pretty widely known web designers out there.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that she and her husband work collectively together to run their business, but they have completely different styles. So their partnership in way of balance, they really complement each other beautifully. And what they do, this is just kind of a disgusting love story. In fact, they pitch each other. They focus on each other. Not themselves when they speak about their business, and then it just that's how they obtain business.
Nice.
Well, it's really kind of cute.
Yeah, it makes you sound a little less egotistical when you're talking about the business in terms of the other one.
Well, sure, and then you know, we'll see. I mean, they've been doing this long enough, so it's not like they're giving this a trial to see how it works with their partnership, both you know, in life, personally, and on the job, but. They've been doing this for a long time and very successfully. So his stuff, his name's Andrew. I don't know his site the way that I do hers. I'm more obsessed with her for the time being. they're absolutely worth following. And she does not talk about the latest up and coming products, applications that she uses. She uses old school HTML, Flash, CSS. She uses CSS, and she uses it in its simplistic form. And the sites that she creates are ridiculous. They're totally awesome. So, you know, it's easy to, part of the reason I'm mentioning her exclusively right now is because it's easy to overthink our web projects, and you don't have to. And so I urge people to look at her stuff to see visually for reference purposes, how simplistic websites can be done and play huge in way of impact.
There's a very heavy, comfortable, there's mm-hmm. such a comfortable look to a lot of her stuff. I'm just looking at right now. Yeah, you said that I think we got so flashy, we got so crazy and everything. Yes. And here's just
what's the latest comment? She probably doesn't even pay attention.
Even for her clients that seem to be more on the energetic side, there's still a very calming and like clean aesthetic to everything, which I think it seems very purposeful. And I love seeing that, you know. It's very nice. Great. I might steal a few of her color palettes.
Nice. I know she's got great color. I agree. I pulled a couple of URLs of hers just to jot them down and you know as side notes for color pairing. I'm with you, Nick. I saw mm-hmm. I saw that
it's
too.
Really nice. And what's nice too is she's very heavy on the dribble side, which you can tell. I think it's neat when it's also good to look at designers who are just so buttoned up. With when you go to their site and those icons that are there, and there's you click on her dribble and it has the same aesthetics as what's on her webpage and everything else. So like brand consistency, we all got to have, you know, looks really nice. Oh, cool.
Very love cool. Seeing that. Gotta nice. Check it out. Yeah. I love like going back to the classic designs for inspiration, like Hamster Dance website. Like, I'm going to bring that back. Remember that old chestnut? The kids listening are like, I don't know what that means, but check it out, kids.
We can check add that Hamster to the archives You'll, link.
Your eyes will explode.
Things mentioned on the podcast by the team.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But before we get to our last couple things here, we do got to give a little love to two FreshBooks, baby. FreshBooks is the best. They basically make invoicing sexy. They bring in sexy back to invoicing because as designers, we don't want to do it. You know, it's the last thing we want to take our time up with. And we certainly don't want to be scouring Google Drive, you know, archives to find these really ugly invoice templates to put our logo on and just kind of like jerry rig every time from scratch. Who wants to do that? That's not really how we want to spend our day. So FreshBooks makes it really easy to put in your own colors, your own logo, and just have it really look polished and branded. So they've got a lot of cool features too. They don't just do invoices, or you can't just send invoices with them. You can, you know, basically have them send those late payment reminders. So if, let's say you sent out an invoice and your client doesn't pay it within the specified amount of time, Off gets sent a really polite reminder. They're Canadian, so their payment reminders are always very polite. That's what we like most. So they send those off so you can kind of save face with your clients. They've got multi-currency invoicing if you work with clients out of the country. And they've got a great mobile app. So we should probably really be talking about them today. That should definitely be a high contender for one of our business apps that we can't deal with.
I gotta tell you, every time I show the app to someone, instant sign up. Thank you very much, FreshBooks. It works.
There you go.
Cool. Yeah, spread the love.
Makes it easy, and you can take photos of your receipts and all that stuff. Come tax time, it's just the best. And they have great support too. So, and we've worked out a deal with them to get 30-day unrestricted free trial for our listeners. So just go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Once again, go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right. So where do we leave off here? We got Mikkel's.
Gotcha. All right. I'm thinking a little out of the box on this one. I'm going to be kind of talking about just going out into the wild and actually finding inspiration. The things that are, I think sometimes too, I always need to get that break away from the desk in the office. And if that means just kind of doing a little research for something coming up or a new client or something cool with a new project, I'm all about getting out there and kind of just finding examples of what I need to see. If it's anything along the lines of like getting out and looking at competitive stuff for like maybe let's say a new client and I'm trying to build discovery and figure out what's going to make them different, I will just make sure I get out there and look and see. There's so many good, I have like my list of places that I go that I think are super important. You got your Targets, you got your Whole Foods, you got your Costco, you got anything specific. Right now, like I mentioned earlier to you guys, I just landed this really cool pet food company and we're meeting today, but we decided to meet at a PetSmart and we're just going to walk the aisles with them and kind of look and see. And I think for a lot of us, it's the way to find out and get yourself really embedded into what particular area you might be going into, because I like to think, we're the experts in what we do, but for a particular industry, you got to get out there and kind of see what's happening. And I could do a ton of searches online and look and everything, but I want to see some tangible things and I want to see how things are working, how things are not. So for example, I think that's a great example there. If it's a restaurant design or something, I'm going to go to a particular area of town that I know there are a lot of great things to look at and I can compare and see how signage is working, how what personalities these brands have, right? Yeah, I think the big part now is how brands are talking. So you can go and see what murals they're putting on their walls or what copy they're using in their menus. Another thing too is like we're working with this EV company. They're like, they do electrical vehicle charging stations. And that's an area that I'm like, look, I think I know what we could do here, but like I want to come up with something really cool. So I'm going to find applicable places to go and see. And like one of the things to do is just go to the Tesla thing that we have in our mall and kind of walk around that, ask the guys, you know, what's happening in the industry, what's happening in the, like get a brochure or two of a place that might be very similar to the client that I'm working with, just to get embedded in there as much as I can. I think a good thing to add to that too, as far as just this getting out of the office thing, is any kind of meetups, any kind of trade shows, things that are specific to that could help you and your clients do better and get better work. I'm just trying to make that more of a discipline on a weekly basis, because I think that's, to me, I think it just makes a big difference of being things in person and being able to take some video or take some pictures means I'm marking those things that I think I liked, what worked, what didn't. And I'm seeing that becomes more of my education when I get to finally do talk to the client or pitch them. You have better words, you have better commentary because you've really embedded yourself in what you're trying to get involved with. And I'm loving the fact that, like, not only is it the diversity in my clients, but now it's the diversity in what I'm seeing in design and the inspiration I'm getting. So now I know what to do, what maybe not to do, where I can take a risk and where I got to be a little safe. You know, all those little areas are really what I'm trying to kind of go for. So that's really, that's to me, and on top of everything else, I think you bring up a great point too, podcasts and blogs and people I follow, I'm always inspired by. I will never say anything different there, but I got to get some new stuff going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just so we're always staying on top of things. I think that's just, for me, the best way to kind of stay on top, get inspired, want to come back and do great things, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like your tool would be like Google Maps to tell you where
probably
to go.
Yeah. Navigation. Yeah. or just
how to get to PetSmart.
Well, now what's great too is we've been getting the little scooters have showed up all over town. So I have one of those scooters. Oh, that's right.
You own one.
I forgot. Yeah. That's really cool.
About time to get it out of the basement storage.
Yeah. I dropped about $50 on that thing 1 month because I was using it to go everywhere. And I wanted to just kind of like, I think everything's within like a mile distance from me, all the places that I want to go and check out for inspiration and stuff. But I gotta get on Amazon and check that out. That might be, there's my inspiration.
$500.
Amazon is my inspiration.
There you go.
So that's
very
mine.
Good.
Yeah. What's yours?
Mine's
man?
A little more. Yeah. Mine's a little more kind of just tool based.
Yeah.
So basically one of my things when I'm gathering inspiration around the web for a website is whenever I find a site I like, I want to take a screenshot kind of the whole page.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I just want to capture one little element, but sometimes I want to see the whole thing and just put it like in a swipe file somewhere to go back to and ruminate on later. So I found an app it's like a Firefox extension. I think they have it for Chrome too.
Yeah.
It's called Fireshot.
Nice.
So yeah, it's really simple. It just allows you to, you click on it, allows you to either capture what's in the window or the area that's selected by you or just the whole page. So sometimes it kind of screws up a little bit if there's like a sticky window or, you know, sometimes there's like weird JavaScript things going on that gets in the way of it, but most of the time it works pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's they also ran for me would be like to use adobecolor.com. I don't know if it's adobecolor.com or how, just Google Adobe Color.
Yep.
Color. Yeah.
It's good for getting color palettes for inspiration. So
that's
mine.
I think there's also when you screen cap, I think Dropbox now offers a really cool thing that when you screen cap something, it if you have the setting on, it keeps that screen cap in a folder on your Dropbox. So even if you delete it from, you know, because I'm the master of having 400 screenshots on my desktop.
Yeah, me too.
and then you go and you select them all and trash them, but you might have placed one in something or whatever. So it's kind of like that safety to know that you always got all your screen caps, you know, categorized and by date and everything and time in Dropbox.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a better use than my desktop for sure.
I know, I'm getting bad with that. There's also,
it's like worse than my inbox.
Do you guys use like the little bookmark feature on Instagram too? Like I know if I'm going through like search or discovery, you hit that little, it looks like a little bookmark. It's like a black ribbon. And when you click that, it kind of, it'll save that. And you can actually, almost like Pinterest, you can build categories in your saved file on Instagram. So if you see a really great logo, you can hit it, pop it in your logos file. If you see a really great package, website, UI, UX, same thing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'll have to start doing that too. All right, kids, better wrap this up here. But yeah, so we don't have any listener questions this time. It's a first. So get on it, guys. Send in a listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com. And you know we love the audio ones. So go ahead and record yourself in an MP3 and email it to me, and we'll play it on the show and we'll answer it in real time. So
awesome.
Yeah. Another housekeeping item. So if you want access to the back archive of episodes that aren't in the feed, you just go to thedeependesign.com/classics, and there you will get all the instructions you need to get all the access. So check that out, because there's a lot of shows before what appears in the feed. We've been around for a while, so take advantage.
Killer.
All right, cool. All right. Well, it's good to talk to you guys, and we'll convene next time. And with that in mind, keep designing. Catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.